Hello guys, I hope you're having a great day. This is Shia Diaz, and we're on Restriction at the Pencil, episode 1, named Lost Freedom. Now let's get into it. Now as we get into the topic, let's cover what this is about. This is the topic on motivation and education. Motivation from a significant person, like a teacher, is a crucial part of a student's future success. I will be talking about specifically how there's a change in freedom when it comes to the 5th and 6th grade, or a big change in when school really gets quote-unquote serious. Now, before we get into all the fun stuff, we have here CC's tutoring, where we have well-trained professionals here who will help you through any subject you have and really just stands by your side to make sure that you get all your work done and that you understand what you came in for. Now, students always have difficulties in classes, and sometimes they feel like they're the only ones. But when they come into our offices, we make sure that they feel comfortable and that they're not alone. Now come check out CC's tutoring, and we'll make you feel at home. The first topic that we will dive into is regarding the relationship between a student and a teacher. I personally feel like it's important when a student can connect to a teacher. I feel like you automatically have more motivation to do better, and you feel comfortable asking questions to the teacher. Here in the source, are middle schools harmful? The role of transition timing, classroom quality, and school characteristics. This was by Holas Igor and Aletha C. Huston. They stated, and I quote, "Youth in stimulating warm classrooms taught by affectious students with close relationships to their students had better test scores, teacher-rated achievements, school engagement, and perceived self-competence than did those receiving lower quality instructions." This elaborates on how students overall do better when they feel like they have some sort of connection to the teacher. This connection is important because, speaking about what was said before, you have to be comfortable in a classroom where you're learning, especially in these crucial ages where you may be really stepping into the person that you are, and you maybe have some growing pride, and you maybe feel embarrassed asking questions. When you're more comfortable with the teacher, that comes easier. This also connects to the next source, article by John T. Guthrie and Marsha H. Davis. This article is called Motivating Struggling Readers in Middle School Through an Engagement Model of Classroom Practice. They stated, and I quote, "The engagement model of instruction for middle school reading contains the 6 features presented in the preceding paragraphs. 1, learning and knowledge goals. 2, real-world interactions. 3, interesting texts. 4, autonomy support. 5, strategy instruction. And 6, collaborative report support. The uniqueness of this model is that these all operate together dynamically." Close quote. This adds on to the previous source because this shows how the 6th grade is specifically a little more structured, which can be good, but this is not too limiting since all of these work seamlessly together. To add on, in the same source, there was a survey done which was concluded, and I quote, "Teachers propose that a strategy for increasing motivation of dissatisfied, disaffected students is to sit them with someone who will help them learn, put them in cooperative learning groups, and have them choose a project to do with another student." Close quote. This also goes back to the first source because this has to do with how students are more comfortable in the classroom and they can enjoy the class and become more engaged when they're put into something with a group or a partner so they can connect with their fellow classmates. This can also connect to self-motivation in an individual student. Now, when it comes to classroom quality, this is important because this is where it all starts. When a student feels a classroom or a teacher is restrictive, they may not engage in as much in the class, and that affects the ideas that they were able to come up with. In another article by Ryan M. Allison, named Managing Peer Relations, a dimension of teacher self-efficiency that varies between elementary and middle school teachers and is associated with observed classroom quality. Ryan M. states, and I quote, teacher self-efficiency plays an important role in the classroom setting. Teachers' self-efficiency varies for different aspects of their practice, while in general, teachers report high levels of self-efficiency for their practice, our study revealed two trends. One, teachers feel less affectious about managing peer relations as compared to classroom management and instruction. Close quote. This shows how some students value classroom instruction over peer relation, which would make sense because teachers should make sure that students learn, but when talking about this age group, it is important that students feel a purpose in the classroom as they learn. This would have students maybe retain information better or even be able to teach their peers because they enjoy it so much. To add on, in the same source, students who moved from high efficiency teachers to low efficiency teachers ended their seventh grade year with lower expectations for themselves in math, lower perception of their performance in math, and higher perception of the difficulty of math than did adolescents who experienced no change in teacher self-efficiency or who moved from low to high self-efficiency teachers. This elaborates on how teacher efficiency in the classroom impacted students afterwards. A teacher's efficiency does not go unnoticed by students, and this can affect the students' expectations, perception, and their own self-motivation. A lot of people, especially students, reflect how they act when they build off of other people. When it comes to the classroom or subjects you can be most free in, it is English, which makes sense because you can do peer work, research projects, one-on-ones, lectures, online things, and etc. In another article named Exploring the Contribution of Classroom Formats on Teaching Effectiveness and Achievement in Upper Elementary Classrooms by Allison E. Baruti, she states, and I quote, classroom format was associated with teaching effectiveness mainly in ELA classes. Therefore, administrators and school districts that are working on promoting higher levels of teaching effectiveness may want to consider trying departmentalized formats for upper elementary ELA classes. Close quote. This elaborates how many administrators and school districts should be trying to implement classroom format since it is the most natural and comfortable for students, and how this can help since these schools are already promoting a higher education. Now here's an audio from a TikTok creator who is also a teacher named 5th_with_miss.y. This teacher happens to be a 5th grade teacher, and she made this specific video regarding motivation and her students. Here's the audio.
Okay, teachers, we all know how hard it is to motivate our students to care about their grades and to want to do well. I don't know about you, but in the past, I've had trouble getting students to stop rushing through tests and just submitting it without actually trying their best, or getting students to be motivated to do well and want to get a good grade. Well, I've got a solution to help. It's called the Wall of Success. did get the original idea off of TikTok, but it has been night and day with my students' effort and motivation when they go to take a test. So super simple, here's how it works. If my students get a 100 on their test, they get the title of their test, they get to sign their little signature, and they get to put it up on our wall of success that is at the front of the classroom that everyone can see. Originally when I did it, I just did post-it notes and I was writing them all out, but that kind of took too long. So I just went ahead and like put the title of the assessment, and I can put these up on TBT if anyone wants them, an editable version. But y'all, these kids, they love it. At the beginning of the year, I had kids who literally could care less if they got a 40%. And those same kids now come to me, Miss Young, it's test day. I'm going to get a 100. I'm going to get put up on that wall of success. And if you want to take it a step further, I had a kid last week ask me if I could send a picture of his little thing up on the wall and send it to his parents. He was that proud that he wanted me to send it to his parents. Mind you, this was a student who was not doing too hot at the beginning of the year, but has now consistently got 100s on his tests. So now I've made an option where I will send home to parents too. I will take a picture of theirs and send home to parents if they get 100. And that has been even more motivating for my students. So if you have students who could care less about their grades now, try this out. See if it helps motivate them, because it's worked wonders for me.
Now this audio from TikTok shows that students who were not even doing so well in the class were motivated by this incentive to do better and now have something to look forward to when they complete assignments or tests. This doesn't conclude to needing an incentive to do better, but when it comes to the specific age of students in education, it matters because kids can get distracted very easily. And if they grow up that way, they may just have that same shorter patience and less motivation because someone like a teacher didn't influence them in the beginning to have a goal at the end so they can have something to look forward to do better. Having this incentive in the beginning when they're younger may just teach students that when they're older, they're not going to get an incentive, but they can make their own incentive at the end. And that can be the same sort of feeling where they still have something to look forward to when they do better, like an end goal. Now, as we close out this podcast, we have one more piece of research to add. In an article by Ellen A. Skinner, named Motivation in the Classroom: Reciprocal Effects of Teacher Behavior and Student Engagement Across the School Year, she states, and I quote, Autonomy support refers to the amount of freedom a child is given to determine his or her own behavior. The opposite of being supported is being coerced. Teachers can support autonomy by allowing children latitude in their learning activities and by providing connections between school activities and children's interests, close quote. This further shows how freedom, specifically autonomy, can be supported by teachers in a way where they can still teach, but also let their general classes' interests be included. This would be the best of both worlds, really, because this would ensure students, or at least most of them, that they would be engaged and the teacher is still getting their curriculum across. Now, I had seen a TikTok by the creator, Let's Get Chemical, and there's no audio because she's just showing the pictures, but she puts in a caption, "What my students' assignments started looking like the second I gave them more creative freedom." And in the TikTok includes pictures of very creative and colorful artwork that went in detail in words and pictures to add on and to review everything that they had learned about the topic taught by this teacher. She was very surprised in the picture how this is one of the first times that she's doing these things and her children loved it and she loved the outcome of the work. Now, if you were a teacher, how would you teach and structure your class? I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and we will be back next time with Shy Ideas and my other co-podcasters, Bailey and Liar, on Restriction at the Pencil. Bye, guys.